Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. Well, you know, it's summertime, and we recently talked to you all about, you know, all the kinds of summer weather disasters that are going on, but, oh, all kinds of things can happen to our dogs in warm weather. And one just happened to one of Terry's dogs.
Yep. Suri is like a cat with nine lives, I swear.
She seriously is.
So she came in the other day and was acting very funny, very needy kind of getting mm-hmm. in, you know. And we thought she just wanted to go back out to play. And then we noticed that her face was all swollen. And so she had come toe-to-toe with what we believe was a copperhead.
Oh, my. And if y'all don't know, that's a poisonous snake.
Yeah. She had two fang holes on her lower lip. And she is the hunter of my two dogs. So she likes to dig holes and she takes voles out of the ground. And it's all great
and
fun.
And that snake smelled interesting.
Yeah.
And so she went to check it out. Oops.
Yeah. So once we saw what it was, or saw her swollen, at first we thought it was a bee sting. Then I looked, I said, that looks like fang marks. And she was still swelling, so we took her to the vet, and she spent the day in the vet. Before we even left the house, though, we gave her some Benadryl mm-hmm. to help stop the swelling, or at least slow it down. Her side of her face had swollen quite a bit, and her down into her neck, she had this turkey giblet goblet thingy going there. Looked
turkey
horrible.
Neck.
Turkey neck. But she came home that night. So fortunately, it was not. I mean, she was still swollen and she was sore. And,
right.
And it's still a little bit puffy around her nose where the bite is. And probably will be for another week. But
right. But
it's important. This is what Dee and I were just talking about. Whenever I move somewhere, I find out what's poisonous in my area.
Mm-hmm.
Do the research.
Just so you know.
We're fortunate in this immediate area of Virginia, copperhead is the venomous snake. If you do your research on it, most medium and large-sized dogs survive a copperhead bite, as do humans. Now, it's not pleasant, but they survive it. The antivenom for copperhead is actually more dangerous, higher percentage of illnesses, not illnesses, deaths and reactions than the venom itself.
Wow.
It's a mercury-based antivenom.
Ew.
So only in the most severe reactions do they give it because
you'll get better.
You're going to get better if you just ride it out,
right.
You know. So that's what we did, and she's doing well, but it's like, good Lord, leave the snake alone.
And Terry, the same exact thing happened to my Cody, my yellow lab, a couple years ago. I was out of town, and our friend Sue was dog sitting, and I was getting ready to get on a plane in South Carolina to come home from a business trip, and Sue called. And she was flying down the road with Cody in the car going, I'm really, really sorry, but I think she got bit by something. She's swelling up like mad. And she's trying to tell me not to worry. And, of course, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
On the after the flight would have been good. But it was the same scenario. Cody is a very nosy girl, and she stuck that nose in somewhere. I don't know what kind of snake bit her, but she looked like the Elephant Man. She was just so swollen, and like you said, it goes down into the neck. It's really scary because it can impact their ability to breathe.
Right.
You know, and I think Terry had the same experience. The vet really wouldn't even say definitively that it was a snake bite, but I saw two holes in her muzzle, and, you know, they sure look like fang marks to me.
Well, our vet was sure there was a snake bite, but he wouldn't say it was a X.
Right.
But it was an X. It
fortunately, both of our dogs survived and did fine. But, you know, it's just something. Keep an eye on your dogs. Just don't leave them outside on their own because Lord knows what's going to happen to them. And the other thing to always remember is have that Benadryl. And know for your adult dogs what the dosage is.
Right.
Because it's according to weight.
Right.
How many do you give Suri?
Two.
And she weighs how much?
50 pounds.
Okay, 50-pound dog, two Benadryl. The last time I needed to give Murphy Benadryl, he weighs 92 pounds, it's three Benadryl.
Yeah.
So I just always like to know what the dosage is for my dog, because anything that is any kind of an allergic reaction, you can pop that Benadryl, and like Terry said, get the dog on the way to the vet, but at least that helps.
Right. That's right. You start that first, then in the car to the vet.
That's right.
That'll buy some time.
Dogs, I swear.
It's crazy. But the thing to remember is, again, we talked about this in our preparedness episode, have the Benadryl. Mm-hmm. Know what to do. Don't panic.
Right. ABC.
You see, that's right. Follow the dots and you will be fine.
In that following the dots, know that you are truly blessed if this happens or something like it happens to your dog during regular vet hours.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't. So that's why you have to know where your emergency 24/7 vet is.
Yep.
And their number's got to be in your cell phone, because as you're tearing out of the driveway, call them and tell them you're on the way.
Yeah. You know? Let them know.
Yep. Okay.
All right, so we have other stuff, and this one I don't think, I didn't know till this week, so I don't know if you know, but our friend Dick Samuels from Family Dog Digest is retiring.
I heard that a couple of days ago.
I was bummed.
I'm really sad about that.
I know.
Now, is he retiring the magazine as well?
I don't know. I haven't heard
I heard that he is.
That'll be a horrible loss to the dog people in Virginia.
Because I'm going to say he's probably been at this for about 10 years. I think that's about when he started that magazine. And it's a quarterly, and we have all of us who love dogs have so enjoyed his magazine. I know everybody needs the opportunity to retire when they want to, but we'll really miss you, Dick, and we'll really miss the magazine if indeed it is going away.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard that piece of it. I wouldn't be surprised that he's retiring because he's got grandbabies now. So.
Oh, that changes everything.
Maybe relocate to the grandchildren or something. I don't know, but that's my speculation.
Well, Dick Samuels, thank you for everything you've done for our community. You're a great guy, and we'll miss you.
Yep. Thanks, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, a new device, and this is going to be a soapbox rant.
And guys, just so you know, I have no idea what's coming.
All right, so this gentleman in the UK has developed a device that he ensures that will ensure that dog bites will go down. And I'm throwing the BS flag, because this is crap.
Okay.
So what this is a little sleeve that goes on your leash. And the color of that sleeve depends on whether it tells the person observing it whether the dog is approachable or not. So you might have a dog that's good with kids and it would get a green, and a dog that okay with older kids would get a yellow, and a dog that bites everybody and everything would get a red. Now, interesting theory, but isn't that just as likely to fail if you don't train your people as if you did nothing?
Seriously.
Maybe you train the kids just to ask if they could pet the dog rather than running up there and jumping on it.
So this guy's guarantee.
Well, he's a guarantee, but he wants to ensure everyone this will make a difference.
Okay, and this is a little flag thingy that goes on the
leash?
It's
just a little, think of a little sleeve that goes over the leash. It's a color stripe.
Oh,
a few inches
people
long.
Are really going to notice that. Are you kidding me?
How about a four-year-old sees a doggy?
Oh.
Oh, wait, hey, that says red. I'm not going to go touch the dog.
Okay, that's just dumb.
It's crap.
Yeah, thank you, Terry. Our crap of the week.
I mean, and there's a whole article on this dude, and God bless him for trying. And I don't have
But it's silly.
This is a people training issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're training this or you're training just good common sense behaviors in your child, you get the same result.
Yeah, and that lasts forever. You never have to replace it.
Yeah.
Once you get that good behavior in your kids. You know, so train your dogs, train your kids, train yourself.
Yeah.
Common sense.
It's called an animal behavior sleeve.
That just cracks me up.
I'm like, I looked at that, and I read that article, and I read it again. I go, you're freaking kidding me.
Seriously, people. Train your dogs.
He's got a patent on it.
Of course he does.
I'm going to have a patent on ground, dirt, something. I don't know what. Anyway.
Wow.
So the last thing I have is going back to some of the crazy weather we've had, and this particular story happened in Birmingham, Alabama. And this dog's name was Mason, and he was there as the tornadoes went ripping through.
Mm-hmm.
You and I talked about this
mm-hmm.
one. He hid in the garage, and the garage was lifted up and taken away. The people's lost their home basically lost everything, and they looked for the dog, figured the dog had died in the storm.
Right.
3 weeks later, this dog shows up on their porch. Wherever it laid the garage down, he'd spent the last 3 weeks crawling back to the home with two broken legs.
Oh, my God. Dogs are just amazing. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
bless his little heart.
They found him sitting on the porch, just sitting there waiting.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's such a happy ending, though.
Well, but the bad news is, right now, he's, quote-unquote, temporarily in the shelter because they don't have anywhere for him to... Their life's in too much turmoil, and they don't have anywhere that they can stay with the dog, which I think is horrible.
Me too. Mason did his part. It's time for them to step up and do their part. Tell me, if you lost your home, Terry, would your dogs be in the shelter?
No.
They'd be with you.
The dogs would have left with me, though.
Well,
they might have been at work. I don't know that scenario.
Yeah, who knows?
But,
guys, come on, man. That's your supposedly your beloved pet, you know, and you make it work. I mean, if life whacks you upside the head and you lose your home, it doesn't mean you're down and out. It just means it's a time in your life. You'll get past it, but you should get past it with your pets. Don't have pets if they're not going to be part of everything that you are.
Yeah.
You know? I can't even fathom leaving my dogs behind. And it's going to be really interesting if we ever do have to evacuate, getting 5 labs somewhere. But we will.
Well, if you need to use my truck, let me know.
Thank you. Like I said, it pays to have good doggy friends with big vehicles. You know, and this whole thing brings up, you know, memories of Katrina.
Yeah.
And dogs losing their homes. And I started, you know, just Googling some stuff about recent tornadoes and homeless dogs. And I'm not really sure I understand why, again, so many dogs, it seems like there are quite a few, who are ended up in shelters in other states after these tornadoes. Have we not learned anything?
It still seems a little bit sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know there's been a better response.
Right.
And I understand nothing's ever perfect, and they're doing the best, way better than Katrina.
Right.
Way better.
Right.
But I don't understand it either. I mean, you would think that people would be looking for these animals and they would be somewhere not in another state or two states over or three states over.
Right.
I don't understand what happened there. Seems like a breakdown still.
And I wonder if, you know, they're doing a clearinghouse thing. I didn't find that anywhere here where there would like be pictures of dogs online. Is this your dog? You know, if the dog's three states away. But it also goes back to... current contact information. If you have, if your dog's microchipped, make sure that the microchip company has your current contact information, especially your cell phone numbers.
Yeah.
Then if your dog goes poof and is a couple states over, they can call you. They can find you eventually. If your dog's wearing tags, make sure, again, that it's a cell number on the tags, on the ID tags.
Yeah.
Not your home, your landline.
Yeah. Yeah, because the landline wouldn't do you any good.
No.
Well, we actually do use a double-sided tag, so they engrave both sides, mm-hmm. and we have Vicky's cell, my cell.
And, excellent.
You know, there's tons of information, their dog's name, of course,
right.
but tons of information, as much as you can get on those little tags.
Right. That's great. That's great. So, you know, I don't know that I even have a clue as to what has actually happened, for example, with state law about how animals are dealt with in disasters post-Katrina. I would love to know more. I don't know how much research time I'm going to have to look into this, but I think it's good information to know. Did we really change things after that disaster, or are they kind of sort of the same? And I just don't like dogs going through the trauma of, you know, like a horrible weather disaster and then also the trauma of losing their homes.
Right.
Or their people, rather.
Their people,
yeah.
The rest of it, home is wherever the people are.
Exactly. So,
yep.
Go snuggle your dog.
All right.
Right now.
We're out of here.
That.